Oh, there we go. All good. We're recording.
Yeah, thank you.
And in typical, all of our lessons will be recorded. Just so everyone is aware. Back to the videos here. I do want you guys to watch these videos, and especially before next Tuesday, if you can maybe, you know, watch these videos right here within this first lesson, so that you see that. And maybe even lesson two, depending on how far we get tonight. So does that make sense to everyone so far? Any questions?
Yes.
Any questions? No? Okay. Well, that being said, so that's basically the overview of the class. At the end, if you look down through here, there is some, oh my goodness, I don't know, 26, 27 lessons, and then a final exam. We actually, at the end of this program, you will be able to get a Microsoft certification, which is another bunch of lessons that aren't even added in here. And it's for the 98375. And we have a lot of tools and everything. And all of the lessons that we're doing and all of the learning helping build up to get this certification, as well as learn how to make web pages and do front-end web development. So the certification, what that helps you do is it helps you get, it's another bonus that you get to put on your resume. Not only at the end of this class, we know how to make web pages and websites, but you will also be able to have a capstone project or a portfolio piece that we will work on. Is kind of a, your primary goal is to have this portfolio piece so that you can share that with a potential employer in the future. Having the certification at the end of this course also lets you have a bonus for getting employed. Most of you don't have any experience in web development, and there is a lot of competition out there. However, web development grows consistently year after year. I'm sorry, my phone was dinging. I shut that off. And so what we're trying to do is give you the tools to succeed so that you can get that position, or maybe some of you want to work for yourself or whatever the case may be. We want to put you in the position that you have a at least one portfolio piece and maybe more. You also get a certified, and this gives you credentials and credibility. Go in and get that first job as a web front-end web developer. Does anyone have any questions on that? Okay. So that makes sense to everyone, Devin?
Yes.
All right, great. So now we're going to spend a, I think that's all the intro stuff I need to cover. We've gone through the course outline, what to expect at the end of the course. There will also be plenty of opportunity. I think I'm going to have office hours. Is there, maybe if you guys could speak up or think about when would be a good time, because I'm fairly flexible on office hours. They just have to be somewhat consistent. And, you know, like, I don't know what's better for people during the day, at night, whatever, but we'll have set up some additional time that I will be available, that you can come to me in a group, one-on-one, whatever, during those times. So that you can ask questions, or if you have trouble with code or anything like that of the homework. Okay. All right. So what we're going to start with, actually, you see all these lessons here. We're going to go through this first presentation, just so you can kind of get a feel of how this is going to work. So if we look at the home screen for chapter one, these are some of the objectives. I'm not going to read all these to you, but I'll give you a minute here to look through and read the objectives. Now, obviously, you don't have the textbook yet. However, it's a good 600 pages, and there's a lot of documentation in there. It's going to be our source material, and we're going to follow it pretty closely, going right through the textbook chapter by chapter and making sure we cover all the content and making sure everyone understands everything about HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Just so you know, HTML is kind of the framework of the web page, and the CSS stands for cascading style sheets, and my dog is wanting to chime in, but it stands for cascading style sheets, and what that allows you to do is kind of give a page, make it look pretty or make it consistent. It's how you address the fonts and things like that. And then you use JavaScript, is more of a pure programming language, so that it's the interaction, if you will, with the web page. It's also used for transferring and getting data. I'm assuming everyone here has been on the internet. I can safely assume that because you're on the internet now, right? Yes. I don't see smiles. Normally I get smiles. So, well, I don't see your guys' videos, so I don't know if you're laughing. But, all right, any questions? All right, thank you, Roman. That's all I needed, a little bit of feedback so I could see somebody. All right, so, and I assume there's no questions. If during the course at any point in time when we're going through material or I'm talking, feel free to go ahead and ask a question or send me a message so that I know that you have a question so I can address it right away. I don't want to get into the point where, you know, oh, you're speaking too quietly, I can't hear you, or too fast or too slow. We'll work through this together. So I just want to make sure at any point in time, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to raise your hand, so to speak, however that might be, just so that I know that I can stop and address that topic or whatever. So after you get your books, you're going to, your ebooks, you're going to have to read through chapter one and chapter two, skim, read through, whatever, but I want you to have gone through the book. It is very important for you to do the reading. It's very important to go through the material in the book, as well as watching these videos for each of these lessons. And then on top of it, more critical than all of that and what that helps you do is writing the labs and the code to make your web pages. So we are going to start out with this first presentation. And I don't know if I'm laggy. Did anybody hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
Did hear the music. Awesome. That's great. So before learning HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, let's take a look at the technologies that help transfer plain text files to the websites that you see online or that you can see on a mobile device when using an e-browser. In this lesson, we're going to cover web content and delivery, web host provider, placing files on the web server, distributing content, and testing the web content. keep in mind, you guys have access, or all of you have access to this, and you can go back through and look at this presentation at any point in time. You don't have to take notes. That's an interactive presentation. What that means is when you click on that link, it'll actually take you to another web page with more information. You see how that happens? Great. So bear in mind, these presentations are built to help you also. And that's why we actually spend time going through the presentations in our classes together. Now, maybe once we get up to speed, maybe, you know, I won't go through every single slide on the presentations and we'll spend more time programming or whatever the case may be. We'll play that by ear as we get through. It's very critical because this is, you know, you're not in the classroom and you're at home, and I know you guys have lives and things like that, but you do need to set aside time if you want to be successful, not only in the class, but in a career or in the knowledge of learning how to do this. You do need to make sure you set aside time every week to actually do this stuff. Do the material, go through, and the biggest thing is to write your code and write your code and rewrite your code and write smart code. All right. So let's talk about the difference between a web page and web content and how to get the content from a computer to someone else's browser. So a web page doesn't really tell you everything. When you hear the word web page, that basically just means that it's something that you see on the internet in one of your browser windows. But in order for that to happen, the browser, I'm assuming most of you are familiar with Chrome or Firefox, that is the browser. And what happens is that browser is basically a reader, and it interprets the HTML code. And it displays it so that a user or person can see that content on the web page itself. Okay. So there are things that are called static pages, which means that the content doesn't change on the web page. And then there's dynamic pages where the content actually does change on the web page. So HTML gives you the structure of the text, and the files that have the CSS tell the browser how the pages should look. And then JavaScript tells the browser how the page interacts with the user. It also tells, also has the ability to tell how to send that information back and forth to a database or backend system. So for example, if you went to you know, your favorite shopping website, what you would see on the page is an HTML, and how that's styled and how it looks is actually CSS. And then if you like placed an order, for example, that might be done through JavaScript passing that information from the form. So there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes when you view a web page or when you actually call up a website. So here's a little diagram that shows like your little personal computer. Here's some servers. So think of it as these are the computers that you're on at home. And this is, in this case, we'll say it's the LMS site that we're actually looking at in order to see this content. So the computer, you typed in your browser, you went into your, you hit the link button, that sent you to the server, and then the server sends back a response back to the web browser. So it says, here's the information. Oh, you have to authenticate, there may be other rules, like you have to authenticate with your username, password, etc. But that information ultimately gets sent back in the HTML format that the browser can view and read. in order for it to be displayed in your browser window. There's also a little bit more that goes on behind the scenes with like DNS and things like that, but we're not going to go into that at this point. So if we look at like a simple search, your web browser sends the request to google.com. It sends that. And then what happens is the web server looks to see if that URL exists or if that page exists. And then if it does, it opens up a specific file and sends that content back to your web browser. The web browser then receives this content as text marked up in HTML codes and renders the code accordingly. So you can see it on your screen. One of the things, this is a very simplified process that we're talking about right now, because this is a brief intro. But if let's see if I got a good example here. Yeah, I won't. So on any web page that you're on, right now I'm on the LMS, and you can do a view page source. If you right click on it and you go to view page source, this will give you actually all of the HTML that is there. And we're going to go over all these tags and everything. But I just wanted to show you as an example, you see like how many lines of code are in here, right? Go all the way down. There is some 4,000 lines of code that are in here. Now you have to realize that this is a fairly, did everybody see that code when I brought it up, or did it not share properly?
Could you repeat, like show that again?
Did you see it, or did you not see the page source?
I didn't get to see the link start.
Probably the way it's sharing. So I'm viewing, this is the page source. And the way I got to that is I right clicked on any page on the internet and there's a view page source. You guys can feel free to try that now or anytime that you want. It's something that you will do probably very frequently in the future when you continue down this path. But these are all the different HTML tags that are in here. Does my mouse move? Do you see my mouse? Like if I highlight this?
Yeah.
Is everybody
seeing it? Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. And we're going to go through this a little bit more in detail. What I wanted to show you now or share with you guys is that if I scroll down, there's a lot of stuff here. And all the way down here at the bottom, it shows that there's 4,229 lines of HTML code in here. Granted, a lot of it's mixed in with JavaScript and CSS. There's a lot of stuff in here, but there's a lot going on. So it's a fairly complex page. I'm going to close this out. So that's the amount of HTML code just to bring up. Do you see how simple this page looks like? Right? Doesn't this page look simple? You guys have probably seen more complex pages than that.
But this page contains some interactions. It's more complex than just reading stuff. It does a lot on the user side.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a great, that's great, Rome, for saying that and pointing it out, because that is 100% true. What I wanted to share with you, though, is that any of you at any given time can right click on a web page and view the source. And that will help you in the future. It helps you see what's going on. It might help you see like, hey, I wonder if I could make this ball bounce across the screen. I found a page. Let's view the source and see if there's something in there that I can use or repurpose and look at and see how they did it. Maybe I can do it better. Maybe I can use the same code. It just depends. You know, it'll help you write your own code. It's like, oh, that's how they did it. I was stumped. I did not know how to do that. So viewing your page source is very important. Sarah, I got another notification about my meeting ending in 10 minutes.
All right, let me look at that. We had that figured out, so let me check again.
And just so everybody knows, if the meeting ends and you get cut out in 10 minutes, please join again and know that it's not my fault. It is 100% my fault. So as we go through here, I'm going to click through a little bit. So you must be able to identify PC components. Now, a web hosting provider. In the future, you guys may want to have your own websites hosted somewhere. Or you might be working at a company that has their website hosted somewhere. And there's some things that you want to look at when you're choosing a hosting provider. Some of the things you want to look at is the reliability or service uptime. I'm not going to click on each one of these and read them all. But you can come back here and do that yourself. But if we look at these, the reliability or server uptime, you'll see a number if you're looking at hosting companies or one of the hosting companies that you're working with or your company works with, et cetera. This is basically, are my website pages going to be up? You know, if it has an 80% uptime, that means 20% of the time it's down, so nobody can get there. The thing with the internet, obviously, is that people, because it's the internet, you can, somebody can be going out at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, 24 hours a day, people can be accessing your website or web page. So it becomes very important about the reliability or how often that server is up. Just for a frame of reference, most servers are running around the 99.99% uptime, or maybe 98. So things have gotten a lot better, but it is something to definitely look at. Customer service, if you call somebody because your site's down or the website, web server's down, do they have customer service? Do they respond? Do they, if you email them, do they respond right away or does it take them a couple days? That's something you want to look at. You also want to look at server space. This is the amount of room or storage that you have for your files. So typically the HTML files and things like that are relatively small. So you could easily have, a complete website in under, 100 meg. Most server companies, hosting providers, depending on what you get, they will offer, typically anything. I can't even imagine less than 10 gig. I mean, they offer you so much space that you'll have enough no matter what you do. But some of your more premium servers that are higher end, they have a bigger processor, a better bandwidth, more availability, you might come into, oh, they're only going to let you have, 1 gig of space or whatever it is for a certain cost. So it all comes down to the cost, what you can afford, what you need it for. Bandwidth is another, on the server space, this is where you house all your videos or your images for your website, things like that. Bandwidth, that's how fast or the connection that the server has to the internet pipe. And these are all over the maps. And you want to make sure that if your website is doing extremely well, that you have enough bandwidth. So if you can imagine, Bob and Joe's bakery down the street doesn't need as much bandwidth as, say, Google.com. Just because of the amount of people that are going to that site or that traffic. Any questions so far? I don't have, there we go. All right. domain name and purchase. Does a hosting company, do you purchase that on your own, or and how do you manage that? When you talk about domain names, you might think, oh, I'll just go buy a domain name. I'm going to call it Craig's Cakes because I make cake now, and I want craigscakes.com. Chances are if I go look that up, it's probably taken. But the way that it works is if I was able to get craigscake.com, that's the domain name itself. In order to build a website under that, I would need to purchase that domain name and then direct it to the server through DNS. And one of the things that you need to look at is how that's managed. And then, of course, there's price. So am I paying $10 a month or am I paying $1,600 a month? And the ranges of that actually do encompass anything from, say, you know, $5 a month up to, you can probably spend, I would say $2,500 a month, depending on, so that's quite a big range, $5 to $2,500. So it just depends on what you're doing. Any questions on the hosting provider? Is everybody still there?
Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. I'm here.
I remember if my if the go to or if the meeting Zoom meeting goes out, just please reconnect with the link. So
I have one question.
I'm sorry, yes. Speak up a little bit.
Yeah, for to purchase the domain, the price is depend on what basis you just say.
Your volume, I think your volume is turned way down. I can barely hear you.
Okay, the domain prices depend on what basis?
Yes, the domain prices change. Also, there's sometimes companies will offer a discount to get you in the door, and then they up it later. It used to be a long time ago, you could only get your domains through like network solutions, but that opened up several years ago. And now you can purchase them at like say GoDaddy or 100 other places or 1,000 other places. And they've also come out with new extensions. So not just .com, there's .net, .info, .biz. You've probably seen those. Mm-hmm. So typical domain prices will range anywhere from they're typically annual, or they are annual fees or annual prices, and you'll see promos for as low as $10 a year, and then they'll you know jack it up to like $20 a year. GoDaddy's famous for that. Other places, the place I use, it's consistently, they had a rate increase, but it's still $15 a year in the name. Network Solutions, they want around $35 a year. So it's all under $100 a year for the domain name, but that's just for the domain name itself. That's not for any hosting fees, because that's a different plan. That's just to register your domain name. Cost that $15 to $30 a year to own it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. So we want to, another thing when you're making your own web pages, one of the things you want to do is test that to make sure that people can actually view your web page. Currently, the bulk of people use a Chrome browser. However, there's still a good chunk that uses Firefox and even Microsoft Edge, and on the Mac, Safari. And then you have your mobile devices, and they use variations of those on the mobile device. So if you can imagine, if you are making a website, there's a reason you're making a website. You want people to come visit your webpage. Whether you're just, hey, look at my website. I like to build cars, and here's a picture of my cars I'm building. I still want people to come there and see that, because maybe I want to sell advertising space or something. So you want to test your web pages so that everyone on any device can actually view your web page. And we'll get into responsive web design later, but that's